You know, God is testing some of us right now. For some of you in the audience, God is using a health crisis. For some of you, He may be using a financial crisis. And I urge you, make sure you pass the test.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first half of this message that was aired last week, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 2, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the book of Genesis and the life of the great man Abraham to learn how his experiences say something important to know about the life of every believer. Tests of faith are coming. We heard how every child of God experiences tests that God has designed to test the genuineness of professed faith. But we also heard how God's tests are for our benefit, painful though at times they may be. But importantly, Pastor Grant also showed us from Scripture how we can rest in God's promises while passing through times of testing. In the concluding part of this message, which we will hear this evening, Pastor Grant opens the Scriptures to find the answer to this big question: what do I need to do to pass the test? So listen with us now to the conclusion of the message entitled, How to Know If Your Faith is Real, Part 2. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Don't quit. The test that you're going through, you need to pass it. And don't say you can't, because the test is an open book test. How many of you liked open book tests? How many of you failed your open book test? We got one honest person. This is an open book test. We can go through our test with an open Bible. Somebody say amen. What God wants is for you to face the test with an open Bible and an open heart. A heart ready to submit to the Holy Spirit. You can pass the test. Each test we pass does wonders for our faith. Each test we pass causes our faith to grow. But what happens when we fail the test? Did any of you ever fail a test in school? Usually what happens when you fail the test? You got to retest. I can't tell you my business, or I almost told you a story. How many of you like retests? Do you know that some Christians are stuck in a retest? We failed the test, God retests us, and we failed the retest, so He retests us. And if we keep failing the retest, we may be preaching this message next year, and you're still in retest. The Spirit of God is trying to encourage us this morning. Whatever the test is, that marriage challenge you're going through, God is saying, make sure you pass the test. Make sure you pass. The health challenge, make sure you pass. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things He does. So that's number one. Trials, testing, not trials, I'm talking about tests. Tests are sent to prove us, but tests are sent to mature us. In James 1, we saw it already in verse number 2 and 2 through 4. It lets us to know that the end result, verse number 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The end result of testing is to make us perfect and complete. And this is not automatic. Tests do not automatically make you perfect and complete. Tests do not automatically mature you. Because a test from God can make you better, and I borrowed this expression, but they can also make you bitter. Sometimes we get bitter. We get bitter with God. We get bitter with people.
Tests can make you better or they can make you bitter. God has sent you a test, number one, to help you realize whether or not you're growing in this journey of faith. But secondly, he has sent you a test to help to mature you. And James says, number one, if this is going to happen, we must have the right attitude. So verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it what? All what? Some versions put, count it pure joy. I love that. When you fall into a test, the word of God says, count it as pure joy. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it's good counsel. I don't want you to miss this. Our attitude affects the outcome of our test. Did you hear me? Our attitude affects the outcome because our attitude impacts our actions. Did you get it? Attitude will impact your action, and if attitude impacts your actions, then the attitude will impact the outcome.
You know, when folks are married, some of you are not married, say, but you can use your imagination. When folks are married and they're upset with their spouse, do you know it's the hardest thing to get them to do loving actions? Oh, it's easy to get them to say mean things. Mean things, when you're angry, it comes naturally. But you see, when the attitude is right, and this is one of the reasons why James, he says, the first thing you need to do when you're being tested is to have the right. Do you have the right attitude? There was a funeral service here on Monday. It wasn't for any of our folks. We allowed our sister church to use the church. But I saw the obituary, and I thought, what an amazing attitude this young man had. He was 43 years old. When he died, he had had medical problems all his life. The obituary starts off with his birth, the problems at birth, and it just continues, and it was in sections. And one section of the obituary said, one fight, one round, one punch. He lived his life one fight at a time, one round at a time, one punch at a time, constantly in the hospital. 5 years ago, when he got married, or before he got, he only had his one leg, but his wife-to-be took him to meet her grandmother at a distance, and she didn't know all about him, that he only had the one leg. So, of course, he is there journeying along, and he takes off his prosthesis because it's a little uncomfortable to have the prosthesis in the car and be driving long distances. So he had it there in the car, and when they pulled up in the grandmother's driveway, she was so glad to meet the young man. She opened the car door, and the leg fell out. She almost had a heart attack. But you know the part that touched me? I said, what an attitude. A young man who has lived his entire life with nothing but problems and problems. By the way, what a blessing it was. This young man, this church was packed to capacity on a Monday because he had taught so many. The obituary said that when he was in kindergarten, the bus driver called him Bishop because as a kindergarten kid, he was witnessing to the bus driver, trying to introduce the bus driver to Jesus Christ. This young fella got it. Attitude. About a month before he died, the obituary said he put a post on Facebook. And his post said, if life gives you lemons, make. That's what we would say. He said, make lemonade. Choose whether you're going to make lemonade, lemon pie, or if you're going to cut the lemon in two and just lick it in front of somebody. He realized he had a choice. Do you realize we have choices? Do you realize we can choose to have the right attitude? Do you realize nobody is forcing you to have this bad attitude? This bad attitude that is creating bad results and bad outcomes? James says, count it as pure joy when God is testing you. Why? Because God is doing something. He's maturing us through this process. And if this maturing is to take place, I must have the right attitude. Then, here's something else. He says, we must also know that trials are working for us. Amen? I don't want you to miss that. He says, when you pass through the test, verse number 3, knowing that you need to know it. You need to know it. That God is doing something. God is working through the testing. Out of the testing, He is producing patience. And as patience continues to do its work, it helps you to become perfect and complete. It helps you to mature so that you are not lacking anything. God is actually using trials to work for us. Trials are working for us. They're not working against us. God wants us to get that into our cranium. The challenge you're going through, my brother and sister in Christ, is not against you. It is for you. Oh, it's so hard to get this. Oh, we quote Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29 so often. And we're going to keep on. Listen, we're going to keep on repeating that passage till it sinks in. For we know that all things are working together for good. The trials are not working against us, they're working for us. Romans 8, 28, 29. For we know that all things are working together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose, for them for whom He foreknew, them He also predetermined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Isn't it interesting how the scripture ties in? Do you realize the objective in Romans 8, 28 and 29, that God is causing all these challenges, these trials, these tests. He's allowing them to work together for your good, because what He's trying to do is to get you to look like Jesus. And here we have in James chapter 1, it tells us that God's objective is that we might be mature. Trials are not working against you, but may God help us to have the right attitude.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But third, trials are not only designed to prove us. Trials are not only, our tests are not only designed to mature us, but tests are also designed to refine us. Psalm 66, verses 10 to 12. Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12. The Word of God says, "For you, O God, have tested us." Oh, is that in your book too? You have what? You have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us out into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. You see, God has a long-term plan. You see, we get bogged down in the today, and God is looking way down the road. I tell you, what an incredible thing it is when you watch a football game. I've never played it, but even when we're watching that game, I am still sometimes just so thrilled to see that quarterback. The ball is released long before the quarterback gets to where he is supposed to receive the ball. Ladies, did you realize that? The ball is received. The quarterback throws the ball. The receiver is here, but the ball is thrown way down the road. The quarterback knows that the speed of the receiver, by the time the ball gets there, the receiver is going to be in that position. So he has a long-term look. And God has a long-term look. He's not throwing the ball to where you are.
He is throwing the ball to where he wants you to get to. And so if you get stuck where you are, oh, would to God that this morning somebody, as the word of God goes forth, might make a decision. God, I'm not going to stay stuck. God, I'm determined to pass the test. God, I want to be your person. I want to mature.
So you see what it says here in Psalm 66, verse 10. It says, you have tested us. You have refined us as silver. Some ladies were studying Malachi 3:3, which says he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The verse puzzled the ladies. So one of the ladies decided that she was going to visit a silversmith to see him do his work, to see him refining silver. And so she visited. As the process started, the refiner put the silver in his crucible, and he put the crucible on the center of the fire, the hottest part of the fire. And he explained to her he had to put the silver in the hottest part of the fire because there were some impurities in the silver, not visible to the naked eye, that had to be removed. And those impurities could only be removed at excessively high temperatures. She sat and she watched for a while. And then she said to him, is it true that you have to sit in front of the fire the whole time the silver is being refined? Do you really have to sit there the whole time and keep your eye on the silver? He said, yes, I have to sit in front of the fire. I have to keep my eye on the silver. Because he said, I can't let it stay in the fire even a moment too long. He says, if it stays a moment too long, the whole process will be destroyed. She said, how do you know when the silver is refined?
He smiled and he said, I know it's refined when I can see my reflection in the silver.
You got it? God is using trials to burn away something that he knows needs to go. Oh, I know we think we're all that. There's nothing needs to go. We got it together. And yet God sends trials and he sends tests into your life and into my life. Because one of the things he's doing, he is removing some stuff that has to go. But isn't it good to know that God has his eyes on you? Wow. Christian friend, never forget this. God has his eyes on you, and he has his eyes on me. He knows exactly what we're going through, and he knows exactly when to pull us out of the fire.
Oh, that's, you can clap, it's okay.
The fire cannot destroy you. Is that good news? God is not going to allow the fire to destroy us. He knows exactly when to pull us out.
But listen, so when is the process finished? Oh, thank God, our trials, listen. Romans 8:29. He's working to conform us to the image of his son. God wants to see his image in us. Amen. God wants to see his image in us. God is determined, my brother and sister. Oh, you can sit here and you can relax if you want to. We get there the easy way or the hard way.
God is going to work on us to the point that we become more and more like Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's his objective, to become, that we be like Jesus. So how do I respond as my time wraps up? How do I respond to God's test? What's the first steps to passing this test? Number one, I need to submit to God. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Abraham was fully submitted to God's will. He built an altar, placed the wood in order, and put his son on the altar. That's submission. Are you willing to submit everything to God? Everything. Second, we need to act now. In verse 3 of Genesis 22, Abraham rose early the next morning. You know, for some of us, we've been thinking about submitting to God. Some of you are unsaved. You've been thinking about being saved. Some of you went to Sunday school as kids and you thought about being saved then. But now, God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you're not saved, now. If you're a Christian, now. Now is the time to get serious. Now is the time to submit. Now is the time to say, God, take me. The third and final. Keep focused on God's promises. It's amazing. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, the Bible says, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. Abraham had never heard anything about resurrection. The teaching of resurrection was not known to Abraham. But what Abraham knew, God said, he was going to be the father of many nations. And all Abraham knew, if he obeyed God and sacrificed Isaac, God would have to find some way to bring Isaac back. He said, Pastor, you're making that up. Let's look at, we're going to put on the board Hebrews chapter 11 so you can see we're not making it up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19 tells us by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Here's this. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He never heard nothing about resurrection, but he knew God had to be able to do something. God was able to raise him from the dead because one thing he knew, God has to keep his promises. Aren't you glad God has to keep his promises? So if God has to keep his promises, can we look at one promise before we quit? We're going to put on the board 1 Corinthians 10:13. Grab a hold of this promise as we talk about testing. What does 1 Corinthians 10:13? Repeat it with me, please, if you would. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. Stop. So stop your little pity party. Stop saying you're the only one. Stop saying, if you only knew what I'm going through. God knows what you're going through. He knows how tough it is. But he's letting you know. It's not, you're not unique. But listen, move on. But what? God is what? And what? He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out, so that you might be able to endure it. Your test will not destroy you. Real faith will always be tested. But real faith begins with a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. we'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.